Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 34, studying Mark chapter 6. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 6. In our last program, we were still studying Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth. We take up exactly where we left off. Fast forward to the start of Jesus' ministry. After Jesus' baptism at the hands of John, Jesus returned to the land of Galilee. Only, instead of living in his childhood home, Nazareth, Jesus made the village of Capernaum his temporary home. See Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. There, it appears, Jesus lived in the home of Peter and Andrew. Thus, when the text tells us that Jesus returned to his own country, the intent was to inform Mark's readers that Jesus returned to his childhood home, the village of Nazareth. The significance of Jesus' return to Nazareth will be established as the narrative moves forward. That Jesus was from there tinted the perspective of those who knew Jesus as a younger man. That familiarity breeds contempt mindset that shows up later in Mark chapter 6 prompted Jesus to remark that prophets were not without honor except in their own country. Before we continue our study of Mark 6, we want to take the time to express the importance of one of the many expressions and descriptors used to identify Jesus. The one we want to pay closer attention to, the phrase, Jesus of Nazareth. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Jesus' association with the village of Nazareth was firmly ingrained in the minds of the general populace, in the understanding of the religious and the political leaders of the day, and especially so in the hearts, in the faith, and in the preaching of early first century Christians. Indeed, as you read through the gospel records and Luke's historical text, the book of Acts, you will see that Jesus was frequently identified and closely associated in many ways with the town Nazareth. We note them here, loosely following their order of presentation in the gospel narratives. Jesus lived in Nazareth, fulfilling prophecy in so doing, Matthew 2, verse 23, which we already noted. The multitudes often identify Jesus as Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee, Matthew 21, verse 11. Peter, in the context of his threefold denial of Jesus, was recognized as this fellow who also was with Jesus of Nazareth, Matthew 26, 71, and Mark 14, 67. Prior to Jesus' temptation by the devil and the start of his public ministry, Jesus left Nazareth in Galilee, and Jesus traveled to Judea to be baptized by John in the River Jordan, Mark chapter 1, verse 9. During the course of his ministry, the demons knew that Jesus was from Nazareth, Mark 1, 24, Luke 4, verse 34. There was the perception that this particular Jesus of Nazareth was also the son of David, Mark 10, 47, and Luke 18, 37 and following. The angels, after Jesus' resurrection, said to those who came to anoint his body, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Mark 16, verse 6. Obviously, Jesus would no longer live in Nazareth or in Galilee or anywhere else for that matter after his resurrection, so it's most interesting to note this identifier of the post-resurrected Jesus as still being Jesus of Nazareth. This will be, as we will see going forward, the first of many times that that expression was used to identify Jesus post-resurrection. Jesus' parents were from Nazareth. Gabriel the angel went to Nazareth in Galilee to tell Mary about the birth of Jesus. See Luke 1:26 and following. And Joseph, Jesus' father, left Nazareth in Galilee to go to Bethlehem in Judea in order to be registered. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. The child Jesus was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Luke 2:22 and following. After the respective prophecies by Simeon and Anna, Joseph and Mary with Jesus returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. Luke 2, verse 39. When the family went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, the time that Jesus remained in Jerusalem as his parents started the trip home without him, Jesus returned to Nazareth for his adolescent and young adult years. Luke 2:51 and following. Luke tells us in the synagogue account in Luke 4 that Nazareth was where he had been brought up, thus indicating that Jesus was raised there, but not that he was born there. Luke 4, verse 16. The Emmaus travelers identified Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Luke 24, verse 19. On the cross, where Jesus would die, Pilate had written these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. John chapter 19, verse 19. But Jesus' hometown was more than just the place where he was from. It identified Jesus as an outsider. Nazareth, a tiny village, estimates usually range in the hundreds, perhaps as few as 200, in the despised northern province of Galilee, not much better than Samaria in the minds of some. All of that put Jesus on the outside of the religious leadership of the day. Almost everything about Nazareth and Galilee and the people who came from there was to be suspect. And yet, the New Testament does not shy away from emphasizing where Jesus grew up. We witness these three specific designations throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts. Jesus of Nazareth, found throughout Matthew, Luke, John, and Acts. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Acts 3, verse 6, Acts 4, verse 10. And the expression, the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, Acts 24, verse 5. Twice, once speaking the very words, and the second time confirming those words, Jesus clearly identified himself with the village of Nazareth. In the first instance, when those who sought to arrest him entered the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." John 18, verses 4 and 5. In the second case, Paul, on the way to Damascus to persecute and to imprison Christians, Paul heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" When Paul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus responded by saying, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Acts 22, verses 7 and 8. As you read through the text of the book of Acts, you will note that, starting with Peter's Pentecost message, early Christians accentuated the Jesus of Nazareth connection. Here's a quick overview of those passages. On that Pentecost day, Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Acts 2, verse 22. Peter, to the lame man at the gate beautiful in the temple, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Acts 3, verse 6, when Peter and John were arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus, Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and following, they appeared before the rulers, the elders, the scribes, the high priest, and others to give an account of what they had done. They were asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" This referring to the healing of the lame man, Acts 3, verse 1 and following that we just mentioned. Listen closely to Peter's response. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." Acts 4, verses 8 through 10. When Stephen was falsely accused of blasphemy against the law, Moses, and the temple, the religious leader said this, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." Acts 6, verse 14. When Peter took the good news of Christ and his kingdom to Cornelius and his household, Peter said that God's word came first to Israel, the nation. It was a message of peace through Jesus, who was and who remains Lord of all. That word was spread abroad throughout Judea by John, and beginning in Galilee after John's baptism, Jesus preached the gospel. He introduced Jesus' portion of that gospel proclamation with these words, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The last three references in Acts all relate to Paul, to his conversion, to his ministry, and to his life prior to his conversion. In the first instance, in the text we noted earlier, Jesus identified himself as Jesus of Nazareth when he spoke to Paul as he, that's Paul, was en route to Damascus. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 6. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.